From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's renewed concern in Russia after the ruble today slipped beyond 60 to the dollar for the first time ever. Right now, if you handed six whole rubles to a trader, you'd get back one thin dime, just 10 cents. Russia is a major oil producer and crude at just $58 a barrel is part of this, but it is not the whole story. Christopher Vecchio is a currency strategist at Daily FX in New York.
Right now, everything that's going wrong with Russia can go wrong. We're seeing the price of oil decline rapidly, and this is kind of a case of Dutch disease, where the economy is built around this one sector, commodity exports, and when the price of that commodity declines, the entire economy suffers. And then you sprinkle in the sanctions right now, and policymakers are painted into a corner. Right now, David, I think the problem is inflation. The central bank has to try to keep inflation capped, and it's running above 10% year over year right now. They have to raise interest rates, and that's strangling growth in an already stagnant economy.
Yeah, I saw the 10-year yield in Russia today above 13%. Ours is just above 2% by comparison.
Right, and that speaks to the amount of credit risk there and government risk going on right now. We've had some news the last few days about talks between Putin and French President François Hollande, but beyond the short-term implications of perhaps a restoking of the dialogue between East and West over Ukraine, it doesn't look like the U.S. and its Western counterparts are going to raise sanctions anytime soon. So the situation can continue to get worse before it gets better. And the Russian Central Bank is burning through its currency reserves. This morning already we had reports out that it spent $1 billion to try to support the Russian ruble, and already looking at the charts, it seems that the impact of those intervention efforts have already been worn off.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on the Russian ruble. Christopher Vecchio at Daily FX in New York. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up on 24 minutes into the trading day, let us do the numbers. After falling 315 points on Friday, the Dow is up 84 points at the moment, 0.5%. The S&P 500 up 0.8%. The NASDAQ up 0.2%. There's news this morning that PetSmart is being bought out by a group of investors led by BC Partners for $8.7 billion. This is the biggest private equity buyout this year. PetSmart has had its ups and downs, and the downs are what forced the sale. Marketplace's Noel King has been looking at some interesting reasons that PetSmart has been struggling. Noel?
Well, this is a big company. They've got more than 1,300 stores in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. The problem for PetSmart is that if you want to buy a dog bed or a cat scratcher, you don't need to go to a pet products retailer. They sell them at Target, Walmart, and, of course, on Amazon. And that's eaten into PetSmart's bottom line. Shareholders have seen this happening, and earlier this year, they started pushing the company to sell. Now, of course, we've seen increased online shopping habits have hit all kinds of retailers, everything from office supply to bookstores. If, though, PetSmart can figure out a way to start competing with these one-stop shopping retailers, there's plenty of money to be made. In fact, the American Pet Products Association predicts that next year, in the U.S. alone, we'll spend around $59 billion on our pets.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Californians in recent days have had to endure not just pouring rain, but listening to the weather forecasters say that rain would mostly run off and not help the ongoing drought. Some of those innovators who live in California's Silicon Valley have been thinking about ways that tech might alleviate drought. Queena Kim has the story.
To show me how his startup helps farmers save water, Thibaut Scolache, the co-founder of Fruition Sciences, takes me to a vineyard in Napa Valley.
We compared two vineyards.
He points to one side of the vineyard and then the other.
Those vineyards are exactly the same.
Exactly the same, except for the way they're watered. One side is watered the old-fashioned way. The farmer basically guesses how much water the grapevine needs. On the other side, Fruition Sciences used its technology to decide when to water. Scolache is unwrapping the tin foil that protects the stem of a grapevine. There's a sensor in there. It's about the size of a thumbnail and monitors the flow of water going through the plant.
It's sending signals. It's immediately available on your iPhone or on any web-connected device. And you get an alert that says, hey, I'm thirsty, please give me some drink.
But the plants on Fruition Science's side of the vineyard never gave the signal for more water.
Which translated into 100% water savings.
100?
100, meaning that whether you apply water or not, it was exactly the same for the plant.
In general, Skolash says Fruition Sciences found vineyards use 40% more water than needed. And in a state where 80% of the water is used by the agricultural industry, this kind of technology could make a big difference. Scott Bryan is the chief operating officer of Imagine H2O, a nonprofit that connects startups with investors.
Historically, it's been about 1% of all venture capital goes into the water sector.
Bryan says that's because water projects traditionally take a lot of money to get off the ground and a lot of time to make money. But Bryan says companies like Fruition, which rely on relatively cheap sensors and big data, look a lot more like traditional startups and are getting more attention from VCs. Back at the Napa Vineyard, co-owner Ron Nicholson hands me a glass of the wine made out of grapes from Fruition Sciences' side of the vineyard.
Tastes great.
Isn't it?
Nicholson says while the water savings were great, the real test is the taste of the grapes.
The quality that you saw on the dry farm versus the irrigated portion, by taste, the dry farm was superior.
Still, Nicholson says disrupting farming traditions won't be easy. But he predicts if the drought continues, farmers will be forced to shelve their egos and adopt the technology. In Napa Valley, I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
And Volvo says it's going to sell its cars online. The Chinese-controlled Swedish car company says it plans to gradually roll out sales via the web. But here's the thing. Volvo dealers will still play a central role. In other words, it's not like the new Volvo will just show up on a UPS truck or something. We don't see a car distribution network without dealers in the foreseeable future. Dealers can decide if that makes them nervous or not. Volvo is owned by the Chinese-based holding company Geely. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.